Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Breitall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 164 for comics originally released on September 29th, 2010. Now, starting us off in DC is Green Arrow number 4.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I had this strongest sense of, like, deja vu as I was reading this. And I'm like, didn't I already see the Martian Manhunter visit the forest in Star City? Maybe in Brightest Day, or maybe it was just some preview pages somewhere. But it really detracted from the story for me to be thinking I'd read this before.
Yeah, I wasn't getting so much as a deja vu as a, wow, I'm really not enjoying this issue. I don't know, this take on Green Arrow is just not clicking with me.
Yeah, the whole running around the forest thing isn't really working for me. They're trying to make him into Robin Hood, you know.
He doesn't seem to be doing anything that's particularly
heroic,
or, I mean, I would say it's not interesting. I mean, maybe somebody thinks it's interesting. It's certainly not holding my attention. I read a couple of issues in a row to get to this one. I like number 4 a lot better than I like number 3. I kind of actively disliked number 3, and I was a little more on this one, but it's really not clicking with me. And it's, you know, the art's fine. You know, I look at the art and I like the art, you know.
I mean,
Diogenes Neves, you know, it's just, you know, good art, you know, good panel-to-panel continuity. It's just, I don't seem to care about the action that's happening.
Well, I mean, I would agree that the art was good. I think it's better than many DC comics we've talked about lately, because some of those have been pretty lackluster in the art department. On the story, I think it was solid. I mean, what it was telling was okay in how it told it. A fair amount happens, but almost all of it is kind of middle-of-storyline kind of content. So I didn't really feel like I came in, I got any sense of a beginning, middle, and end, and left. So as a single issue, I felt it was a little weak. As far as a bigger thing, it contributed to that, but I have to agree with you that the bigger Green Arrow storyline it's contributing to, I'm not really loving the take either.
I guess, you know, they seem to have, they don't know what to do with Green Arrow. I don't know what numbers they're expecting out of Green Arrow, and I don't know how well this is doing after the relaunch. Maybe you can look that up really quick, but, you know, it seems like they did the Green Arrow Black Canary series, and they did the whole wedding, and that, I guess, didn't work for them the way that they wanted it to or were expecting it to, because it just seems like they went almost immediately from the wedding into, you know, trying to go after who had allegedly killed Roy, and then they went, you know, and they just kind of meandered around with that series. They didn't really explore the wedding much. They just had Ollie and Dinah fight a lot, and then they kind of dissolved it, you know, and they stopped that series and started this one. And I just don't think they gave that previous take much of a chance, but I don't know.
Well, it had a year or two, and I agree they didn't use that year or two as well as they could have.
That's exactly what I mean, though. I mean, it, at least by my looking at it, they didn't do what they maybe could have or should have with the marriage. They didn't know what to do with it. Maybe that was the problem.
Well, I think they don't know what to do with most of their characters these days. But Green Arrow and Birds of Prey are both doing in the 46,000-plus area these days, at least as of August. I haven't gotten the September numbers to crunch those yet. So these are doing pretty well.
What was he doing before they pulled the plug on the last series?
I'm thinking it was down in the 16,000, 17,000, 18,000 area.
Well, if that's the case, then, I mean, this is a wildly successful relaunch. I mean, if it close to tripled the numbers on the book, but
how much of this relaunch currently is being bolstered by the multiple covers, the Brightest Day connection, and the honeymoon period? You know, I question how this is going to be doing once those things kind of wear off, as they usually do, because I don't know that the people who are in it right now are going to be so wowed by this storyline. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with this issue. It's good, maybe even slightly above average, but it's not brilliant, it's not unique, it's not something where I'm thinking, wow, people have just got to be reading Green Arrow right now. I wouldn't recommend this book to anyone who's not already a Green Arrow fan. Now, granted, I do think this series is solid enough it could potentially turn someone into a Green Arrow fan, but it isn't so great that I really think somebody ought to go read it to become one, if you know what I mean. Because there are a lot of books where, if you're not a fan going in, I don't see how you could become one coming out. This, I think it's possible. I'm not going to say it's very likely, but I think it's certainly possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I after reading this, my bottom line decision was I'm dropping Green Arrow. And that's never a good thing. I mean, it's a series that I was collecting, and I'm not liking this enough to keep buying it.
I can understand that. I personally don't feel that way, but I can see where you're coming from. I mean, for me, this was a, a 3 out of 5.
And I gave it a 2.
You know, if you like Green Arrow, pick it up, but if you don't, I don't see any reason why you should bother. And there's too many good comics, too many great comics coming out to, be recommending ones that are only so-so.
Yeah, true.
Shall we move on to our Marvel pick?
Sure.
It's Atlas number 5. It is the final issue of the ongoing series. I guess adding Triathlon, the 3D Man, wasn't quite enough to keep sales up and keep the title around this time. I'm kind of sorry to see this title go, because it's a very different kind of a team book, and it's, I think, fairly unique in the Marvel lineup. Given how large that lineup is, that's pretty damn impressive, too.
I like the Atlas series. I like the Atlas characters. This particular issue, I thought, had some issues. This issue had some issues.
Tell you straight up, I didn't care for the prose passages that went on for a couple of pages.
It just, and I understand that, and I thought I read somewhere that it was more that Jeff Parker had decided it was time to call it quits on this than Marvel preemptively pulling the plug on it. I could be completely wrong on that, but I could have sworn I read that somewhere on the internet.
That's entirely possible, but given that number 4 sold 13,205 units, I wouldn't blame Marvel for pulling the plug either.
I think it was kind of a mutual agreement, if anything, but this seemed like really rushed and having lots of stuff jammed in to the issue to kind of finish the story off. And it just, you're going along, it's got all this stuff going on. They're trying to wrap up this Echo World scenario. You cram in a couple of text pages here, another text page there, and that the ending itself was a little... pacing was kind of off. I mean, given that he had to jam in those text pages and then spending, essentially 2 pages with this talking with the Genghis Khan guy on the horseback and, stuff, I didn't work for me.
Yeah, I think part of it was, again, the prose passages, they made sense in the context of the story and fit narratively. But I read comics for the combination of story and art, not just the words, so I'm always a little annoyed when I get this 2 pages of nothing but text. It's like, well, that was an easy page for the artist. I'm cynical that way, what can I say? But you're right, it felt very rushed. There was a lot of exposition on other pages to say, and all this happens in this one panel of generic action, so we can kind of give it a decent close. While it was a rushed closed, it gave it a decent-ish conclusion. I mean, Parker's been doing some fun stuff with the Agents of Atlas, and I really hope they stick around in the Marvel Universe to some degree as an organization we see from time to time in other books. And I want to see what Parker is going to be doing next. And, you know, I applaud Marvel for at least giving this book a try the couple of times they did. Because it's not something you're going to look at and get confused with, say, the Avengers or the Fantastic Four or the X-Men or, you know, name any other team they've got. So I thought this issue had some things I didn't like. I'm not going to say they were problems, but just didn't click with me like the prose passages. It certainly was rushed, but even so, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was a strong comic. It had some interesting ideas with the Echo World and stuff, and gave the series enough of a conclusion that I felt there was some payoff. You know what I mean? And not just it's over.
Yeah, I could see that. I give the Atlas characters and the Atlas series a 4 out of 5. This specific issue was more of a 3 for me.
I can see that. I can see that. You know, it's had some good artists. This one in particular I thought was a nice, clean style, although I think they switched from chapter to chapter in a few places.
I mean, in general, and don't get me wrong, I mean, this issue I had some problems with, but overall, I really like Jeff Parker's Atlas characters, and I really am kind of disappointed that the book sold as poorly as it did and that so few people gave it a chance. I mean, I felt the same way, you know, with Paul Cornell's Captain Britain and MI-13. I mean, I thought it was a really great book with, you know, not the, you know, the big characters, but it just felt like it didn't get the, you know, the attention from the fans. And, you know, fans vote with their wallet. You know, lots of people buy Marvel comics, and they seem to not want this kind of story, apparently. So it's too bad.
Yeah, but when Marvel's coming out with 100 titles or whatever, you know, a bazillion of them are X books or Avenger books or more of their mainstreamish stuff, by the time you get to more of these fringe titles, you know, a lot of people's dollars have been soaked up by those other books.
Right.
So people may want it, but not have room for it in their budget. But regardless, it's still not selling.
Want to move on to our indie book, which is Pilot Season, The Asset, number one?
I like the concept of Pilot Season to begin with. We talked about this a little after the previous call last night, about this being kind of a tough thing for a creative team to execute well, because it's like a first issue, so you gotta introduce stuff, set the scene, all that stuff. But it's not a first issue in so much as first issues can kind of, like you were saying, in some cases have that hanging edge of, okay, this will be continued in the second issue. Because with these, majority of them are never going to have that second issue. So all you're going to do is annoy people if you leave them hanging and stuff. And we've had 15 or some odd Pilot Season issues so far through the various years, because this is like the fourth year, I guess, they've been doing it. Some of which I thought were excellent one-shots, and it's like, well, I don't know how that would work as a series. Some of which were decent first issues, but left me hanging enough that I was annoyed and didn't want to vote for it for the series. But this one with The Asset, it clicked with me in pretty much every way. It had a unique premise that I thought was well executed. I mean, we've seen the spy genre a number of times. The concept of using dating sites to go find an asset that you can then manipulate into doing what you need done, I thought that was a clever twist. And I thought the way we see it play out in this, it's like, okay, I see where she's manipulating him. Because I know that's what's going on, it felt a little obvious, but it worked. And it's, to me, the fact that it brought that differentness to it was certainly a plus. The fact that it had a full story in this issue was certainly a plus, particularly when it left on a note that, okay, there's more story that could be told and should be told, but not that has to be told to complete what you just had. So as a single issue, particularly a Pilot Season issue, set stuff up, told the story, ended on a clean note, had the springboard aspect, very pleased with that. Really, really liked the art on this. It was good, it was solid, the action sequences played out well, and there were a couple of places where the facial expressions really, really worked well and conveyed what needed to be conveyed and gave it a sense of acting that I think some comics are sometimes missing. So, you know, I was very pleased with this.
I agree with pretty much everything you just said. You know, I have mixed feelings, though, about the pilot season concept at this point. I mean, we've seen, this is the fourth pilot season now?
Yeah.
And they've altered it now to 6 books and or 1 book. Let me talk about this issue first before I talk about pilot season in general.
Okay.
So this book, I agree, I liked it. Of the 3 of this pilot season I've read so far, so I read the 39 minutes that came out the week before this. I read this one, The Asset, and then I've read Crosshair that came out this week but won't come from DCBS until next week.
Okay, I have not read that one yet.
Right, but I just wanted to kind of get like a flavor of all the ones that were out so far. Of those 3, this one I liked far and away the best as an issue. For exactly the reasons that you said. I mean, it was an original idea. It did a really good job of telling it. It had nice art. And Philip Sablik, he really tread that line nicely in that he told a story that had kind of a backstory kind of under the surface that you could see. But he didn't introduce characters and concepts that kind of left you feeling like you weren't getting a complete story in this issue. You know, I can see where if this did continue, there's all kinds of threads that could be pulled on that could develop that backstory. But it wasn't like right out in your face where you're feeling like if it was a normal book, I wouldn't have a problem with it because I'd know, okay, issue number 2 is coming next month or in a couple of months or whatever, and we'll see more of that. You know, the problem to me with pilot season is that I may never see, and since it's a 1 book enter, 6 books leave, for 5 of those 6 books, I will not see another issue.
Yeah, that's the difference. It's not that there may not be a second issue, it's that there most likely will not be a second issue.
Right. And I don't want to see a story where I'm kind of like getting an incomplete story fragment when I'm not going to be, you know, when I'm not going to see the next piece. And this book, I got a complete story, and I felt satisfied that I had been given a complete story, and I liked that. So this one, I give a 4 out of 5 to. This one did a really good job, you know, on that. Nice, solid book. You know, I'd recommend someone pick this book up. They can get a nice, satisfying chunk of story out of it. Now, by comparison, the other 2, 39 Minutes and Crosshair, I liked them both. I liked 39 Minutes a lot. If I knew that issue number 2 was coming out, I would almost say that it was my favorite of the 3. But since I don't know that an issue number 2 is coming out, all kinds of stuff was set up. Characters were introduced, and it was like there were things explicitly done in that issue that would not pay off until issue 2 or 3 or whatever. And given that I'm not necessarily ever going to see those issues, those are not positives to me. That is a pacing problem with that one issue. And Crosshair was the same way. That made me feel like I was getting a fragment of a story that was very interesting. And, you know, I would like any of these 3 if they were real quote-unquote series that I knew there was going to be a number two of, I would absolutely buy issue number 2. They told a good enough story that hooked me enough, was unique enough, that I would come back and I would buy the issue number 2. But given that I'm only going to get an issue number 2 out of 1 of the 6 books that come out, it's not good, in my opinion, to get an incomplete feeling from the story.
Well, it's like some of the creators don't really understand that aspect of the pilot season stuff, and that by doing a more traditional first issue kind of an approach, that they're really getting some backlash on that, since as readers we know that's not the case. Personally, I found this to be a 5 out of 5. It started from a blank slate, created a world that I felt comfortable with, I felt I understood kind of what was going on with the main character here of Madeline. you know, what she was doing and stuff. There was some action, there were some character moments, you know, all that kind of stuff. And again, like you said, it ended on a clean note. Certainly there's backstory implied with whoever she's working for and aspects like that. But nothing where I felt cheated or teased or, you know, manipulated into, you know, oh, I've got to buy the next or whatever. So I felt this, and maybe I'm giving it higher marks because it, quote-unquote, played fair and fit the premise of the pilot season aspect. But I came out of this thinking not only do I want to see more of it, heck, I'd like to see a TV show based on this. I mean, you get a charismatic female lead on the show, and really that's the lead you would, you know, the recurring character. This thing could do really well with decent writing.
Yeah, you're right. This is, it's got that feel. Now, some people, when they see something like that, they kind of go against a comic saying, ooh, it's just a Hollywood pitch. I mean, to me, that's a positive for a comic book. If a comic book tells a good enough piece of a story that you could see it being effectively translated into another medium, that's just good storytelling.
Exactly, because I would like to see it in television. It's not like this read like a TV series. And that's a crucial difference. It's not something that was originally geared for, like, the Sci-Fi Channel or something, and then converted to a comic. And I felt that way at times early in Boom's publishing history. Not really lately at all, but I mean, there are a couple of times where it's like somebody's gearing for that TV show. No, this is clearly being written as a comic. But because it had that smooth execution and was fun, it clicked enough with me that I could easily envision it as a TV series I would enjoy.
Right, right. I completely understand what you're getting at there. And, you know, I thought this was a really great issue. You know, if I could recommend that somebody pick up a pilot season issue that's come out so far, this is the one to pick up, to me. Mm-hmm. The asset, you know. So, well done. That's all I can say is I really like it. But at the same time, I'm just a little sketchy at this point on the pilot season concept. If I'm going to get incomplete story fragments, I don't know that I want to get six books where five of them I'm going to get an incomplete story fragment that's going to leave me hanging and not give me a sense of closure, and one of them will go on.
I'd kind of like to see the pilot season merged with the first look trade concept they've got, where in the first look, where for $5 you get six first issues.
Right.
If for $5 we got all six pilot season things.
And then you vote on, you know, which one you'd like to have continue.
Yeah.
Or if they just, you know, dialed it back and just said, you know what, instead of pilot season, we have judgment. I mean, I've met the Top Cow people. They're smart guys. You know, get Sablik and Silvestri and a couple of these other guys who are, you know, good creative guys in a room, have them read the you know, the pitches on these and pick two of them that they think are have the best legs and just publish them as a four issue mini. You know what I mean? I would rather see that, you know, I would rather get those eight issues than get six issues that are going to leave me hanging potentially in, and I don't know what the other three are going to be. I've only seen three of them. So maybe the other three are going to be like asset here and they're going to tell me a complete story, but you know, they're only batting one out of three out of the first three here.
Yeah. Well, and in past years there have been a couple that were clearly teasing, some that were just recapping prior series to try to relaunch them, a couple that were good one shots that I'm not convinced would have worked as a series. I mean, it's a tough thing to do, but I appreciate them, you know, trying to toss stuff out there and let the market decide. I mean, I see what you're saying about having their higher-ups do it, but frankly, that's what they do with the other titles anyways, so...
Right.
This gives them a chance to put things out there and, that they think would work, but maybe not, you know, they may not fully understand what totally clicks with the audiences at times. They may have thought this is a real long shot here with the asset, but I think for both of us it certainly worked and we'd like to see it as a series. Whereas they may have thought some of the other stuff, like 39 Minutes, was a surefire hit, and in some cases people are saying, yeah, no, I don't think so.
You know, but I don't know if that's necessarily even working against it, you know, because, again, it colors my impression of that book that I read it and I know And maybe not everyone knows. Maybe people are...
Well, they've been doing pilot season for 4 years now, so if they haven't figured that out by now...
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like me going into it and reading it and knowing that there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to get left hanging. It doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I can see that.
One other book of note that I wanted to point out this week that I'm a big fan of that came out is the Hatter M, Volume 3, came out in hardcover. I've talked about it before, but I'm a really big fan of the Looking Glass Wars stuff. It's a series of, there's a trilogy of novels that Frank Bedore has put out. You can find those on Amazon or any bookstore probably. You look for Bedore, B-E-D-D-O-R. And it's kind of a fanciful take on Alice in Wonderland, where magic is the power of their imagination. And Alice's bodyguard is the milliner. It's just, you know, like, but he's not like the Mad Hatter. He's like this really, you know, fighting guy. And he's Hatter M. And in the first book, there's a point where Alice goes off and she's lost in our regular world, and Hatter goes after her, but he isn't immediately where she was, and he has to spend some time looking for her. And that journey is, you know, he finds her in the book, you know, they kind of bridge, and he, you know, finds her, and then they go back and they continue on with the trilogy of novels. But the period of time that he spends looking for Alice in our world, that's covered in these Hatter M graphic novels that have come out. The first one was actually a comic book series that was collected in a graphic novel, but then Volume 2 and Volume 3 have been original graphic novels. And it's him kind of traveling around the world, you know, kind of late 1800s-ish, you know, kind of looking for Alice. It's pretty cool. It's got, you know, a nice style to it, and I'm really looking forward to reading the Volume 3 that came out. If people haven't checked it out, I would suggest personally checking out the novel, the first novel first, called Looking Glass Wars, and then moving on to the Volume 1 of Hatter M. So just something to point out, because it's kind of putting an end to that series.
Cool. Yeah, I read everything I got this week. That Heroic Age, One Month to Live, I enjoyed. I'm not going to say it was brilliant or anything, but some of those shoot it out 5 issues in 5 weeks. Some of those tend to be really weak, and I thought this was better than that. What else did I read that I thought was good? I read second issue of Darkness Four Horsemen, and that's a little more gory than I tend to like. But that's just me being squeamish. And... enjoyed the Star Wars Blood Ties, Tales of Jango and Boba Fett. That's been pretty good. Decent week overall. Nothing that really just came out and said, ooh, wow, this is brilliant. But, you know, a lot of good stuff just the same.
Very good. Join us next week when we discuss Rebels number 21 from DC, Ultimate Comics Thor number 1 from Marvel, and Rider on the Storm number 1 from Radical.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.